Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prayer Warrior For You show. I'm your host, the Prayer Warrior, tuning in live from Tennessee. We're so glad you're tuning in today, February 10th, 2015. Now on to our show. Good morning out there in Radio Land. I'm your host, the Prayer Warrior. We're tuning in live from Tennessee, and we're so glad you decided to join us on today. We have a great show in store for you. We do have our call-in line this morning, and that number is 1-657-383-0029. You're welcome to call in with praise reports, testimonies, or prayer requests. And we will be very happy to pray with you, touch and agree with you that God will bless you, encourage you, or whatever your prayer requests will be. Now, we do want you to know this is a Christian call-in prayer line, and we do welcome people of various faiths to call in. However, we really are a global international prayer line, and this is a show to encourage, uplift, and strengthen. So before we get started, we do want to play a psalm so that you will be blessed and encouraged in the name of Jesus, and we'll be right back.
Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. O Lord, you have searched me. You've searched me, and you know me. Father, just the thought that you've searched me, my heart, my emotions, my depths, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts afar off. Even my thoughts tomorrow, you know them today. You discern my going out and my lying down. Ways. Father, everything I do, you're familiar with it. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me, oh God. You laid your hand upon me. You apprehended me. You boxed me in. You chased me down. Knowing all about me, you've come after me. And oh God, I thank you for that. Such knowledge, this knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Bless you, oh God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? Oh Lord, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Oh God, everywhere, everywhere. Your right hand will hold me fast. Have I said, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. Oh Lord, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Oh Lord, you are brilliant light. Men's secrets are in the bright of day to you. There's nowhere we can go away from your presence. For you created us. Oh God, you created me. You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh Father, amazing. I will praise you because I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, oh God. And I know that full well. So I want to stop and just meditate on that. You created me in my mother's womb. You said it was good. You said it was good. You said I was good. Fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Oh, Lord, you wove me together. You knit my parts together. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Lord, even in the womb, I sucked my thumb, and you saw it. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Oh, I can't believe that. Oh, God, all my days were written for me in your book before one of them came to be. God, you saw me as a little boy. You saw us as little girls, teenagers, going here and there. You saw us everything. How precious are these thoughts to me, oh God. How vast are the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When we are awake, we are still with you. So today, Lord, today as we pray, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Father, see if there is any offensive way in me. That light, again, that searchlight, search me. And lead me in the way everlasting.
Don't you want the Lord to search you, to search your heart? I know I do. What a beautiful way to start our show segment. And Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for all that are tuning in this morning. We pray, Father, that as you search our hearts, that our hearts will draw closer to you, that the fruit of your Spirit will draw closer to you. To our hearts, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will give the people of God and those who desire a closer walk with you encouragement on this morning. We pray, Father, that as we encourage them in the Word, and should they desire to call in for prayer, that you will use me as an instrument to encourage someone on this morning. Father, we lift our hand to heaven and we intercede on behalf of the people who will tune into this show segment by way of Skype, the internet, the archives, if they call in, if they're in the prayer room, however they choose to hear a word of encouragement on today, because, Father, you are a God of truth, Deuteronomy 32 and 4. You are a God, the judge of all, Hebrews 12, 23. You are our high priest, Father, Hebrews 4, 14. And you are our Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you heal us, Exodus 15, 26. You know, as we bring forth this show segment, for years as we've been coming on to doing this show segment, our primary goal has been to encourage your heart so that you will begin to desire the love of God, the agape, unconditional love of God in your heart. And when you confess the Lord as your personal Savior, as your King of your soul, because our bodies are going back to the grave, you all. Our bodies are not going to experience any type of everlasting life or damnation, because from the dust of the earth we came, and to the dust of the earth shall we return. But when our heart and our mind and our emotions are going through the different processes that it goes through, or the emotionalism that it goes through, or the feelings that it goes through, that is our soul. And it is our soul that will be judged by an all-knowing God. And so however we live while we are yet a spirit being in an earthen vessel, and we allow our soul to partake in the pleasures of the world and to turn our back on God, or we can allow our soul nature, our personality, our character, our behavior to fellowship and commune with an all-loving God. You know, people are saying that when you share a message regarding sin and you share a message regarding people living against the word of God, that you are caroling a message of hate. But think about it. How many of you out there who have children, if you see your children doing something that could destroy their life forever, would sit back and watch them do so? As people of God, it's time for us to be fitly joined together, knit together in love, in unity. If my brother or my sister is hurting in the body of Christ, come on, it's time for us to encourage one another. But if my brother or sister is going down a road of destruction, it's time for us to also be able to be approachable, to be reproved and rebuked. If my brother or sister is strong in the faith, come on, it's time not to be jealous, not to be competitive, but it's time for us to even get together and encourage them and support them and let them know that God is using them. You know, it's a great thing to encourage someone else. It's a great thing to share words of life, words of strength, words of joy, and words of compliment to let them know God is using you. He is blessing you. I'm not saying words of flattery, because so many times when people are flattering someone, they're trying to win brownie points with them, to have their way with them. We've all gone through that season of immaturity within our soul nature. But when we begin to grow and we begin to mature in the realm of the Spirit for the kingdom of God, we begin to learn how to give godly compliments, mature compliments, without flattery that would usually have some type of agenda behind it. God wants us to walk in the realm of His Spirit. And you know, He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. God stepped into the body of Jesus Christ through the womb of a woman, and He became a living soul. And He walked on the face of the earth 33 and a half long years as an example, as a mentor, as a role model, as a rabbi, as a master teacher, as a Messiah, the anointed, chosen, begotten of God. Why? To go to the cross to shed His blood at Calvary, that we would understand and we would have an opportunity to taste of the tree of life, for us to come to Him with our whole heart. The whole duty of mankind is to worship the Lord, to honor Him. You know, it's become a cliche in the world today, in business arenas and in churches, to honor God in all we do. Are we really honoring God in all we do? Is our heart really honoring God? Is our mind really honoring God? Are our words really honoring God? Are our actions and our emotions and our behaviors really honoring God? Well, one way to know is to learn more about how the Spirit, the fruit of God's Spirit, a capital S, the Spirit of God works in and through believers. But we're going to share that with you on today. But before we get into all of that, we will be taking breaks throughout the show segment. If someone calls in for prayer, we will stop what we're sharing and we will bring you on the show live and pray with you and encourage you and give you a word if it's the Lord's desire or if to pray for you. If you have a powerful testimony of something God has done for you down through the years since you've tuned into this show, you are very welcome to call in and to share your testimony live on the air. You have a prayer request for a loved one. You have a prayer request for a child, a parent, a sibling, a spouse, a sister, a neighbor, a coworker, a boss, any kind of prayer, or for yourself. Call us at 657-383-0029, and we'll be more than happy to pray with you and for you. We'll be more than happy to hear your testimony of greatness. You have a testimony that God has delivered you from. Do you have an experience where you struggled with bitterness, unforgiveness, and hatred, and anger, and fear, and God turned your life around, and you want to share your testimony of how God has blessed you and healed you and delivered you, where you are now walking in one of the fruits of the Spirit, where you're walking in love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control, which long-suffering has a lot to do with that. We would love to hear from you at 657-383-0029. Well, you know, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we are so glad to rejoice and be glad in it. Because why? Because Jesus is who my soul loves. Yes, I love my husband dearly. I love my relatives dearly. But Jesus Christ, my soul loves the Lord. And you know when your faith is real. You know when your faith is authentic in your God. Because usually people who do not want to live godly will persecute and will taunt and harass and mock those who are pursuing peace, pursuing love, pursuing righteousness, pursuing holiness. I used to think it was because they were all wicked people and always full of the devil. But sometimes maybe people just may feel intimidated. Maybe they don't understand the love of God, which is genuine, which is pure, which is awesome, which is all-consuming, which is all-forgiving, which is, you know, he's our Jehovah Shammah. That means he's there with us. God is with us wherever we go, however we think, whatever we're feeling. Is he condoning and in agreement with everything we do? No, not if it's not according to his word and according to his will. But he is a God who never goes to sleep. He's never slothful in his business. He is always there. He always understands what we're going through because he created everything in the world. Before the world was, God was. And so it doesn't matter how we may feel. Some may say there is no God. Some may say they're tired of God. Some may say they love God, but they want to do their own thing. And they may have in their mind that he doesn't see them or that he'll accept what they're doing as long as they say they believe in him. But this is a season. This is a time. This is an hour. This is the opportunity to draw one's heart and mind to love God. Why? Because God is love. God loves us, but he's also a God of holiness. He's also a God who desires that we thank him and that we honor him and that we praise him. He's also a God that we should obey him as well. So we'll be right back after this song. What a beautiful song. That was an instrumental song, Now Thank We All Our God. What a beautiful instrumental song. And, you know, as I was sharing with you, God wants us to bear fruit. I know. I remember years ago when I became born again and spirit-filled. And, you know, you hear so much about receiving the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, and praying in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, where our spirit man connects with the Spirit of God, and how as we relinquish our heart and our mind to the Father and we are submissive with a true, sincere, humble, repentant heart, we allow the Father to come and reside and to rest and to live within us, where His Spirit, not the Spirit of life. Now, some people confuse the Holy Spirit with the Spirit, with the breath of life, the Ruah. God breathed into the nostrils the breath of man, and mankind became a living soul. I'm speaking of when the presence of God, the Spirit of God, His character, His personality. You know, the Word of God said that the Lord would send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, whom the Father would send in the person in the name of Jesus Christ to dwell within us. You may want to know, well, why would He do that if we are already in the land of the living and we can breathe and we can make decisions on our own? Because God understood that when He put our spirit of life within this earthen vessel, inside the flesh, which is the molded and shaped dust of the earth, the dirt, that the flesh would have its own cravings, its own desires. Our soul is our emotions, it's the seat of our heart. And our soul dictates what it wants, what it craves, what it needs, what it wants to do, or what it does not want to do. What acts out the cravings of our soul is our flesh. So whatever's in our heart is like the mind and the emotion of our soul. And whatever it desires to act out, the flesh will manifest it. The flesh will demonstrate it. The flesh will carry it out. Our spirit man is not the one that does the sin, because our spirit belongs to a holy God. It's our soul. See, we have our flesh, our soul, and our spirit all together, triune in a body. And so depending on how our soul is depicts how we live our life in the realm of the physical. God understood that. He understood how He made us, and He gave us some help. And that's why Jesus came to earth. The victory was at the cross. The victory was at the cross when Jesus came as a sacrificial love offering to shed His blood, to take supernaturally and prophetically the sin of the world, that soul nature, and it was nailed to the cross. And symbolically, the shedding of blood covered the multitude of faults and flaws and sin of the soul nature of mankind, that He said it is finished, which means through Him, through His love and His sacrifice and His action on the cross, we have an opportunity to be free within our heart, which is connected to our soul, which is what will be judged when we stand before the judgment seat of God. Well, when God released the Holy Ghost comes from God. It is the Spirit of God. When we receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God within us, He is said He will send in the name of Jesus. In other words, the victory, the character, the personality, the thought process, the emotions, everything that Jesus represents to a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes packed with all the personality of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the victorious power that He conquered on the cross. The fruits and the manifestation of His Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, which in Galatians chapter 5 shows the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, long-suffering, or some may say self-control. These are the attributes and the personality and the contribution and the characteristic that Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Now, I'm keeping it very simplistic, very down to earth. I'm not going to go breaking down the Hebrew and Greek and all of that, because people, I know when I became born again, I wanted to understand simplistically what was so important about receiving the Holy Ghost. What, other than just praying in tongues, evidence that of receiving His Holy Spirit within me, other than having a gift of tongues, I wanted to know what was so important about receiving the Holy Ghost. And you know, it was years in my life before it finally dawned on me, before it was a revealing, the lid came off, and I began to understand. I've been born again since 1977. I received the Holy Spirit, not understanding what I received. I remember one of my cousins took me to a Pentecostal church when I was 12 years old, and I remember going to the altar, and I remember praying in an unknown tongue and feeling the fire of God all over me. But because the kind of faith I was raised in at that time, I was not permitted to go back to that church. And so then it was many years had passed before God drew me back to holiness again, and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit again and experienced that fire, the fire of the presence of God, cloven tongues like as a fire. But it was other tribulations and challenges and things that we go through as new believers, as young believers, that I didn't understand. I thought doing works, of course it says faith without works is dead, but the type of works I got involved in was singing in a choir, janitor of the church, working on a baptismal committee, works in the church with the flesh. When God wanted me to begin to understand about the works of salvation, the works of soul saving, the works of being a testimony, the works of being a witness to people, to draw them out of captivity, out of darkness into a marvelous light, the works of the harvest, to go out into the harvest field and to share the good news of the gospel, of the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith without works is dead. And so one day I asked the Lord, I'm giving you my testimony, and again, our lines are open, 1-657-383-0029. And I asked the Lord, I said, Father, what am I missing? I've received your Holy Spirit. I've done this, this, and this. I went down my list, you know, that self-righteousness, and God had to reveal that to me as well, but that's a different show for a different time. And He began to take me to Galatians chapter 5 and showed me in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If, here's that word, if we live in the Spirit, capital S, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That really made an impact on me, where I was at in my walk and my relationship with the Lord. You know, many of us have struggled with seducing spirits, the seducing eye, the cravings of the soul nature of the flesh. Then He began to show me the works of the flesh, and they were totally contradictory to the fruit of the Spirit. And so I wanted to understand more about the fruit, to understand why is it so important to have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, fruit means something that produces. The literal meaning as a noun may refer to the produce of any crop-bearing plant, including trees, vines, grain. Every tree has been created to yield its own fruit with seed in it. And God began to show me the fruit that we are to yield, the seed that we are to yield. The first one is love, not phileo love, which is a sensuous love, a soulish love, where we have affections and cares, like we have our children, our spouses, our loved ones. But the fruit of love, that agape love, that unconditional love, the type of love that the Lord Jesus Christ had on the cross when he came here on earth. You know, there's no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. So I said, Lord, which tree am I? And I'm asking you today, what tree are you? Are you a tree that bears good fruit, or are you a tree that bears bad fruit? You know, Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45 pretty much says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of a person's heart, it's spoken out of their mouth. Person has received the Holy Spirit of God. They have received the fruit-bearing empowerment of the person of Jesus Christ in their heart. Evidence, they have praised him in unknown tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. They're going to bear fruit. If God is in their heart, they're going to bear the love of God. And love is not based on emotions or feelings. It is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. So many times in the body of Christ, people who are still immature in the realm of the Spirit are comparing the love of God with their emotions and with their feelings. I can talk about myself. I have been there, and there's still some areas in my life that God is grooming and purging and delivering me from in that area. It's hard and difficult and can be a challenge to love people that have done you wrong, that are out to hurt you, that pursue you for evil and wickedness. But when you have the love of God, you see past the evil and wickedness that they're doing, and you recognize that they're hurting people. Maybe something crisis has happened, something devastating happened in their life to cause them to stray down the road of destruction that they're on, that they really think in their mind is the right road to take. I've been there. I remember being so hurt, so crushed, so wounded because of the harsh words of others that I wanted to just be away with them, get away from them, or bitter or unforgiving or revengeful in heart, wishing something horrible would happen to them. That is not the love. That is not the love of God. That is not the fruit of God's Spirit. We are to pray for those who despitefully use us, curse us, treat us wrong, try to bring horrible things upon us. We've got to pray for them. Now, it doesn't mean we run and hang out with them. It doesn't mean we wallow in sin with them. It doesn't mean we submit and yield to their ungodly or wickedness or sinful ways. But in our heart, our soul, we've got to cry out to God and remember them in prayer and ask the Lord to deliver them and to open their eyes and lead them down a path where they will begin to crave deliverance for their own salvation. Love. Love isn't based on how we feel. Love is not based on our emotions. You know, so many divorces occur because people have the wrong mindset about the love, about that fruit. Love is a good fruit. And whatever fruit you have, whatever capacity, whatever level of love that you have in your heart, is going to manifest through your soul, which is going to activate demonstration through your flesh. So if you've got unforgiveness, if you've got anger, if you've got control, if you've got domination, if you've got sensual lust, if you've got uncontrol in your flesh, if you've got that you think you have a right to impede on other people's homes and households and livelihood, that's bad fruit. That's not the love of God. It says it's a decision to be committed to the well-being of others. When we are committed with the love of God in our heart, we have not only spoken out of our mouth that, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Lord, I am in love with you. Lord, my heart loves you. Lord, my mind loves you. Lord, my soul loves you. Lord, my will loves you. Lord, my thoughts love you. You're making a verbal decision. Now he wants us to have a manifestational commitment so that we can be a blessing to others without any conditions or circumstances. One way to live in ministry is to share the word of God, to share the good news to all who God sends you to every venue, whether you have a platform on the pulpit, whether you are anointed and gifted to go into the highways and byways, to the streets, to the prostitutes, to the gangbangers, to the drug addicts, to the homeless, to the shelters, whether you have a gift, anointing to speak and share the love of God and the gospel through social media, like a platform like I'm doing right now, whether you have a love for God where you can go to those who have been abused and who are the abusers. Everyone has an anointing. God has placed every type of a gift in the body severally with a group that we are ordained and anointed to reach. You may be gifted to reach those in gangs. I may be gifted to reach those in the shelter. Someone else may be gifted to reach someone who's prostitution. But we have to work together. We have to work together as an organism in one body with the love of God. The word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's in John 3:16. Jesus also said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, John 15:9. In other words, when we say that we have become a born-again believer, that we have become a Christian, and we have become a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the way the Holy Father of Heaven loved his begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus loves us that same way, and he wants us to remain in him. We've got to be constant in him. We've got to be consistent in him. We have to have a commitment to the type of walk that we have with the Father. And that walk has a lot to do with the fruit that we bear. Every tree has been created to yield its own fruit with seed in it. Now, you may ask, what scriptures do I have to substantiate about the fruit? Well, a crop-bearing plant, you can go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Regarding the trees and the vines and the grain, you can go to Deuteronomy 7:13. a tree that's yielding its own type of fruit and seed in it, Genesis 1 and 11 through verse 12. It says, it's likewise used for the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve eat or ate in Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, and then verse 6. When we have the love of God and bearing good fruit, it says here in Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now let's back up in this verse. It says, blessed is a person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Well, there's a difference between being wicked and ungodly. Wicked people have not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their king and a ruler of their soul. Wicked people are those who are sinners. They enjoy their sin, they love the life they're living, and they do everything they can to try to pull someone who loves the Lord into their world of sin and defilement. An ungodly person is a person who has confessed God, who has confessed they're a child of the Lord. They were once godly, and they're living a double life. They're living ungodly. I wanted to bring that out. Well, this is saying a person is blessed when they don't even walk or hang out with the wicked people, with the people who want nothing to do with the Lord. What fellowship have light with darkness? When people love the sin that they're doing, when they're you can tell if you're a wicked person. If you haven't confessed the Lord in your heart, and you may go to church, and you may hear scripture, you may hear the word, but it doesn't move you at all. You still haven't confessed the Lord in your heart. You know how you know? Because of the way you live. If your life has not changed one iota, and you're still going after the lust of the flesh, you have not been converted at all. Ungodly people at some point had been converted, did change, did walk according to the word, and for whatever reason they chose to begin to fall away. Their heart becomes hardened, their minds become hardened, their desires begin to change. We have to pray, because people like that are very, very much in grave danger, on their way to backsliding away from the Lord. But this is saying, blesses a person. And it says, people who don't stand in the way of sinners. What do you mean, stand in the way of sinners? If you say you're a born-again believer and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're hanging out with the sinners, sleeping, going from bed to bed, I'll use some of the obvious sins. Of course, there's a list that's endless, but just a few for sake of time. And you're cursing, and you're getting drunk, and you're getting high, and you're gossiping, and you're doing all the things that they do, but yet, in the next breath, you invite them to church, and you're telling them Jesus loves them, and you're telling them that God is God. But yet they're looking at your life, they're hearing what you're saying with your message, but your life isn't lining up. They're going to feel, why should I go to church? Why should I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? They say they're a believer, and look how they're living. Look how they're acting. Look how they're treating other people. They're supposed to be a pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, or teacher. And they're still, yes, sleeping around with the men or the girls in the church, or chasing young men, pursuing young men with men and women with women. Why should I go to their church when they're no different than I am? That's standing in the way of a sinner. Their blood will be required on your head, because you had an opportunity to be a testimony, to be a witness, to be an example of the fruit of the Spirit. Love does not wallow in sin with sin. Love is a representative of the person and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." That's St. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. So not only are we supposed to confess the Lord with our mouth, confessions made known unto salvation, become a born-again, spirit-filled believer, baptized, but we're supposed to do what his word, what the New Testament, the word testament means will, what his will is. He says we are his friends if we do what he commands us to do. When we are walking in the love of God, we are going to obey him. We are going to obey his word. We are going to obey and with it. Willingly. We're not going to feel, when you hear people getting ready to go downhill, they'll make comments like, "You're choking the word down my throat. You're trying to make me be saved. You're trying to make me do what?" Why? Because in their soul, in their heart, they really don't have a desire to yield to a holy God, to a loving God. They really want to live according to the flesh or their soul nature or the ungodliness or the wickedness. And you only have two fathers, either Satan, the devil, or God Almighty and Jesus Christ. You're either going to yield to one or the other. There is no in between. And so when people feel it is a struggle and it is a pressure to live holy, first of all, they have never gotten saved. When you become saved, you enjoy pursuing the Lord. You enjoy loving him. You enjoy doing what the word says to do. You do it with honor. You do it with energy. No matter what is coming against you, you're enjoying it. The fruit, remember I mentioned about the fruit? The tree will bear whatever type of fruit it is. How I mentioned in Luke, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. So if a person has truly surrendered their heart and their will and their soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be a good tree, and they're going to bear the fruit of his spirit, of the Lord's spirit. If they have not really given their heart to the Lord, they're a bad tree, and they're going to bear the works of the flesh. And we're not going to go into the works of the flesh today because there are so many. As we continue on, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." How do we get to know God? How do we begin to understand what God wants? How do we begin to understand how God feels? How do we begin to understand what God's purposes and plans are for our life? By reading the Word of God, by seeking him in prayer and fasting, and by allowing application of his word to work through us, through our own personal life, by developing a personal relationship with the Lord, by seeking and pursuing his presence in our heart. Our heart has to become a heart of love. Our heart has to become a heart because our heart dictates to our will, our soul. I wrote a book called Prayers for the Heart. It's a companion guide, volume one, that you can get at Amazon.com. Alicia Beam, Alicia D. Beam, Prayers for the Heart. It's a book that God gave me, and it talks about the heart. It talks about the different prayer types defined for our heart. And, you know, God put this book in my spirit man to begin to encourage my heart. But prayer is one of the crucial roots to a person's heart being changed as we begin to communicate with him. And this book talks about the different types of prayers. One of them is the heartfelt prayer, which is a genuine, sincere way to communicate with God. A person approaches the altar with honesty and truthfully. Where? From our heart. The prayer is deeply felt on behalf of others, and it's also dealing with an adoration and worship toward God, where our heart feels a specialness, a closeness, a yearning, a hunger for him in our heart. It's a prayer which exhibits ferventness, enthusiasm, passion, and to put it in simplest terms, is a bona fide, authentic act. When people pray this prayer, there is no room for doubt, no room for unbelief. Why? Because it's the realness that is displayed. There is an earnest concern on behalf of the benefit of others. There's also an earnest concern in a relationship with God from our heart. And in this book, I share prayers from my heart to give you a way of beginning to start and develop a love walk with God so that you can begin to bear the fruit of love from your own heart. Prayers are just prayers to encourage you to hopefully reach deep down. One prayer that I did, a heart which speaks, Heavenly Father, it is I, your child, sir, an apple of your eye. I love how you unconditionally know all my situations from the inside out. When my heart is full of joy or challenge, you draw near to hear my beckoning call. Father, truly, during this generation, many have turned their hearts away from you and their loved ones, yet you still say to them, come, my child, for I love you. They speak words of hatred and show unkindness from their hearts, yet you still say, come, my child, I love you. Oh, wonderful God, give me a heart to cherish you more, where every word spoken from these lips have no guile. I desire a heart filled with you entirely. Thank you for loving me. It's about our heart. It's about our heart. God wants us to love him in our heart. And again, that book is Prayers for the Heart, a companion guide, volume 1. And when you go to Amazon.com, you can search Alicia D. Beam, and you're welcome that the books are on sale, and on Amazon you can get it at a very good price. But I wanted to share with you how as we love the Lord in our heart, and as we begin to seek him from our heart, it will begin to change the way we think. Why? Isaiah 32:17 shares, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. The fruit of righteousness, when we have an unconditional love of God in our heart, it's going to display a right way of living, which goes back to the cliche I mentioned, to honor God in all we do. Righteousness is a part of honoring God in all we do. Righteousness is a part of bearing a good fruit. Love is part of being righteous because love is a good fruit. When we have love for someone, we begin to desire the best and well-being for them. You know, love, according to the New Testament, agapeo, is one of the four words meaning to love. It's not an emotional love. It's not a feeling. It is a commitment. It is a type of servanthood. It's a type of service to be a blessing to other people. A biblical definition of love starts with God. God loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. You may want to write that down. And I will give scripture on a show segment to encourage people to open the Word of God, to share and learn more, to develop a love walk with Him. God is love itself. It is His character that defines love, because He is love. You'll find it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, using a related noun, agape. He acts with love toward an undeserving world. St. John chapter 3, verse 16, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 16. Why? To save people from sins and to reconcile us, to come back to Him. Reconcile means to bring someone back to something. And so His love on the cross, His love with His shed blood, it reconciled us to have an opportunity to bring us back to Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The pure and perfect love of God is templified in the love relationship between God the Father, God the Son, which Jesus shows His disciples in John chapter 17, verse 26. And to love God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. If you find people who are cursing you, who are saying things that cause you to be get sick and be in poverty and not have children, and your marriage is not be successful, they don't love you, because God is love. And when we have the love of God in us, we are going to do what it is to help people, to bless people. If they do something we don't like, do something we don't understand, first of all, love does not pursue someone to hurt them. Love does not pursue somebody to make them do something that's wrong. Love does not pursue someone to make them fall in sin. Love does not pursue someone to try to kill them or harass them. What love does is see where people are hurting, see where people may be lacking. You know, God has blessed our planet with so many wonderful, educated, smart people in book knowledge, but God wants those people that have the gift and ability to direct and guide and grow to now begin to walk in the realm of the spirit of love, especially if they say that they have Jesus, especially if they say that they are Christian. Love people. Love people. There's so much that goes on in workplaces. You have employees that have grudges against their employers. You have employers who listen to employees, and then they have grudges against employees, and they never really got to know the actual person, because they're listening to what someone else said who they may have had with them for many years, who may not have liked that person, and now they have judged the person that once worked for them, and they're pursuing them to hurt them, not knowing the heart of that other person. There's always two sides to every story, and here they're pursuing them to hurt them, not knowing that the one that gave them the information was in error, and the person that they may have let go did nothing wrong. Why? Because they weren't seeking God. They weren't praying. And the love of God has need of growth in their heart. What do you do for people like that? You love them. You pray for them. You still bless their business. You still ask God to bless their families, bless their resources, and pray that their eyes will be open to the agape love of God. You don't hate them. You don't talk about them. You don't feel bitter toward them. You pray for them and you love them. There have been people who have children, and you find these children in garbage cans, and you find babies left at doors, and you wonder, how can someone do that to a little baby when there's others who couldn't have children who would love them? You pray for those people. There's something going on in their heart. They have need of deliverance. They have need of being made whole. You pray for them. You love them supernaturally and ask God to help open their eyes. It is time for us to demonstrate love. There may be someone on the street that God allows you to drive past them all the time, a homeless person with a sign, will work for food, will work for money. How many of us who do have businesses, could find something for these people to do or may know businesses to help them do something? Love. Love compels those who have the ability to help others to begin to help the people. Love compels those who have the ability to press in and pray, because not everyone knows how to pray. And when they have a hunger and they have a need, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully persecute you. Pray for those who mock you. You know, it goes back to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." A mocker is someone who, like they did Jesus when he was the Son of God, and they said, "If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross." Or when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil mocked him, "If you be the Son of God, and if you jump off this high mountain, won't he send his angels to lift you up?" Mockers will make fun of those who love the Lord. Mockers will ridicule people and say, "Well, if you pray, if you love God, how come you still have financial problems? How come you still are sick? How come you still don't have this and that?" That is a mocking spirit, and it's demonic. And when people walk in the love of God in their heart, they don't speak things like that to other people when they're down and going through a hard time. When someone is up and they have a job and God is blessing them, and there are those who don't have a job, the mockers should not be doing that to people who would like to have a business and have a job. It's cruel and it's ungodly and it's unbiblical. But the one that's being mocked has to still love them and continue to pray for them and to ask God to keep the love of God in their heart. Why? Because these are turbulent times in the realm of the spirit. These are turbulent times where people are being harassed and mocked and discouraged and ridiculed and made fun of. Why? Because the enemy goes after the emotions of the people. But remember, the agape love of God is not about our emotions or our feelings. So dry your eyes. Hold your head up. When you have the love of God, you will suffer, but you will also love those that persecute you, because happy are you when people come against you. And they may be those of your own household. Happy are you when they come against you. Happy are you when they say horrible things to you. Rejoice in the realm of the Spirit. Rejoice and know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Rejoice and understand that God is there for you, and God will take you in, and God will help and encourage your heart, and God will fight your battle, and God will begin to touch their heart so that they will turn, so that they will repent, so that they will have love, so that they will have kindness. Father, In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray today for those who have been hurt and wounded. I pray, Father, that you will give them love in their heart. Father, we pray, Lord God, that the people that have been discouraged, those in the workplace that may have desired to have promotions and they've been looked over time and time again, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen them and that you will keep them and that you will be their deliverer, Romans 11:26, that they will begin to feel that you are faithful and true, Revelations 19:11, that they will begin to understand, Father, that you are the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3, that they will begin to understand that you are the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10, that they will begin to know, Lord God, that you are the author of their faith, Hebrews 12:2. And I pray, Father, that you give them love, that you give them joy, that they receive peace, that they receive comfort in a time of need right now. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Well, you know, our prayer line is still open. 1-657-383-0029. You desire prayer. If you've been struggling in this area of love, the agape love of God, if you have been struggling in the area where people have been cruel to you, have been cursing you, have been doing horrific things against you, and you really want to love the Lord with your whole heart, knowing that love comes from our heart, which is attached to our soul, knowing that when we have the love of God, it's not about our emotions, it's not about our feelings. I'm recapping for those just tuning in to know that when you have the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and some convert that to self-control. Knowing that when you have the love of God in your heart, your mind, your soul, however we feel in our heart is how our flesh is going to react. Now, the love of God allows us to manifest and demonstrate good fruit, positive fruit, biblical fruit. The works of the flesh have nothing to do with the love of God. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, I recommend you read it. Galatians chapter 5 mentions what the works of the flesh are, but we're not going to mention that today because that's not our show segment. I've given several scriptures. You may want to play this segment back and hear the various scriptures given. As we love God, as we glorify Him, and as we praise Him, He will begin to strengthen. He will begin to bless you. He will begin to encourage you. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back as we give all glory to the Lamb. And you know, as we love the Lord, as we love Him, it shares that they that are in fact to love God above everything else, which is the greatest commandment. And if you have your notes, write these scriptures down. As in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and verse 33. And then to love one another, Matthew chapter 19, verses 19, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, Mark chapter 12, verse 31, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 23. Especially our spiritual families were to love. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. If a person loves God, get this, when we love God, we will also love other people. And it shares that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Loving the other person is an outflow of God's love for us. So when we love other people according to the way God would have us to love them, all it's going to do is that when you reap, when you sow love, you're going to reap the love of God. That's what it means by an outflow. An outflow. Whatever we do toward others is going to come back toward us. So in other words, when we are sharing the love of God, the patience of God, the peace of God, the long-suffering, the servanthood of God, the ministry of God, it's going to be an outflow from the throne of heaven back to us. If we are sowing wickedness and cursing and witchcraft and hatred and jealousy and slander and anger and mocking and sexual immorality, whatever we're throwing out there in the realm of the spirit, it's just a matter of time. It's all going to come back to us. So it's always a sowing and reaping effect. From the beginning of time, that's the way it has been. If we sow good, we will reap it. Not everything comes back to people in resources and money and finances. Sometimes when we sow into other people, God could save us from a heart attack, save us from another stroke, save us from a car accident, save us from all kinds of things that could have happened to us or natural disasters. Isn't it amazing how lately you heard about snowstorms and hurricanes and tornadoes, and some places, some instances, nobody was hurt? Why? Maybe those communities have sown good to be a service, to help other people, and God's hand was on that community and protected them from danger seen and unseen. The love of God. When we have the love of God, as we continue on, He shares with us, it'll be an outflow from God, a new commandment He's given us, that we love one another as He has loved us. So we must love one another. St. John chapter 13, verse 34. St. John chapter 15, verse 12. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. And it just sums up the entire law of love. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. The royalty of His law of love is James chapter 2, verse 8. Anyone who does not do what is right and is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, our love toward Christ is demonstrated by our obedience to His teachings. St. John 14, 21 and chapters 15 and I'm sorry, St. John chapter 14, verses 21, verses 15, and verses 21. And then verses 23, and then chapter 15 and chapter 10. And so we are to love one another. We are to have love in our heart. Love stands at the head of the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It is the greatest of all, and it will last for eternity. And you will read a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about the agape love of God. You know, God shared with his disciples that not only to love God and fellow believers, we are also to love all people. We're to love everybody. And you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, we are especially to love our enemies. But the word says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And you know, it doesn't hurt, does, when someone in your own household makes fun of you and mocks you and feels that they're telling you off or giving you a piece of their mind, when they don't understand that when they're opening their mouth, a mocking demonic entity is attacking you. They don't understand. But as we begin to become clothed and wrapped up and tied up in the love of God, it's like when those mocking words start to come at you, they don't touch your emotions. They don't touch your feelings anymore. They boomerang and ricochet off of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have need, I don't know about you, but I have need of more love. There's not enough love that I can't have some more love of God, so that when people are doing damnable things against my soul, against me, that my emotions and my feelings don't even respond, don't even react, don't even feel it. Why? Because the very foundation of salvation is grounded in the realization that God's unmerited love toward us is greater, hallelujah, than any power, hallelujah, including death. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57. It's about love, y'all. It's about the agape, unconditional, unreserved love of God. You know, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Oh, friends, since God so loved you, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Will you love the Lord today? Will you raise your hands right where you are and say, Father, I receive more love. Father, I receive your love in my heart. I receive your love in my will. I receive the love of God in my soul. Allow him to wrap you up in the love of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Allow the fire of his anointing and his Holy Ghost and fire and his healing to heal your wounded heart, to heal your wounded spirit, to heal your wounded mind, so that you can receive the love of God. Become a good fruit. Become a fruit. Allow the fruit of God to dwell in you. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33. Make a good tree, a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by the fruit. We today, want to share this word with you so that you will become a tree of good fruit, a fruit of love, a fruit where you are a servant and a minister to encourage someone else. Well, we pray that you have been blessed by this word, and we want you to know that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. If you have decided to give Jesus your heart today, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing ministry where you can receive His Holy Spirit, water baptism, the Word of God, so God can begin to change your heart so that as you invite His presence into your life, you can walk with the power of the victory that Jesus did at the cross when He shed His blood for you and for me. And if you have, say, Father, I repent. I repent of hatred and unforgiveness and discouragement in my heart. And Father, I yield my heart to you. Father, I want the love of God in my heart, my mind, and my soul so that I can be used as a weapon of love and warfare to press in and pray for other people. Lord, let my life become a light among a dark world in the area of love. Father, bless me. Father, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior, and I confess and declare today that I shall be a vehicle of the love of God for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, that's it for Prayer Warrior for you. And we pray that you've been blessed. You're welcome to get in contact with us. Our email is, if you tune in on Blog Talk Radio, you'll find our email and a way to reach out to us via Facebook. And remember, we have our Prayers for the Heart devotional book that you're welcome to find on Amazon.com. But remember, the love of God, may it wrap you and saturate and soak your heart, because your battle is not your battle. When the powers of darkness come in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He will raise up a standard in the power of His blood. Glory to God. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time. Belongs to the Lord. Encourage my friend, you
choosing